This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for September 19th. I'm your host, Darren Armstrong, and with me today is Kirsten. How are you doing, Kirsten?
I am doing great, Taryn. I get a day off work because a different country's monarch passed away. So you know what? I'm off work. It's good.
There you go. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. It was day 75 in the house. Day 75 as we are closing in on the finale night next week. And, you know,
it feels like it's been 75 years, Taryn. It feels like it's been ages.
In some ways, it feels like it's been 75 years. And in other ways, it feels like we never left week one.
Yeah, very much. Very much so. I don't need to relitigate what I said week one. That exists on the internet and it is forever. But I never trusted any of these people. I said, fool me once. Shame on me. I will not let it happen. And they've never earned my trust back. I will say that.
Yes. Well, let's talk it through. Now, of course, Taylor is the HOH. You even saw in the episode last night that Monty won the veto. Monty plans to evict Brittany and take Turner to the final three. He has been telling Taylor that he plans to take her to the final two. They have also been having a little bit of fun in the HOH room.
That. I knew that you were going to do that, but I still was not prepared.
And that's how things have been going. Taylor says to the cameras that she basically plans to take Monty to the final two. Monty again telling Taylor that he plans to take her, not telling Turner that he plans to take him. They're getting busy up in the HOH room. That has been the status quo.
Yeah, I really was ready to come on the update today to talk about, yeah, it's looking like, you know, Monty will take Taylor, Taylor will take Monty. Let's talk about potential jury votes. Yeehaw, what a dream. But no, not these people. They will never give me peace.
Yeah. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to start the day again. Pretty boring day. They're going to be hanging out in the HOH room. And this was an interesting day because it was one of those days where all of a sudden things got dramatic. And people were like, what? What? Where did this come from? And literally, like, I don't think anybody was paying attention to the thing that caused all of the dramatics. Nobody clocked like, ooh, this might turn into something. It was like, wait, what?
If you gave me 1,000 guesses as to what would cause the drama yesterday, I there's no chance I would come close to it.
Yeah. Let's walk through it.
Yes.
The four of them are hanging out in the HOH room, and Taylor and Monty are on the bed. Brittany's on the couch. Turner's on the other couch. Monty has fallen asleep with the headphones on, he's snoring. And Taylor's gonna go, give me this. She takes the headphones off of his head. With them come his glasses.
Oh my God!
Whoops. She says, "I'm sorry. Go back to sleep." My music. Disrespectful up in my room, taking my music in my bed.
You know, people are getting a little too comfortable in the HOH room at this point in time. Now, I feel like you really made that into like a whole thing. You're like, oh, and this is what happened, and this is how what. But like in the moment, it's just very much like, oh, sorry about that. Oh man, these people in my HOH room. Truly, it's hard getting back to the pineapple when it fell on the ground, and she was like, not the pineapple. And then suddenly Taylor is allegedly bullying 15 people. It's that type of overreaction.
Yes. Very, very clearly this was not meant to be an attack on Monty, that she was making a joke about the fact that he took the music and was snoring as they were all hanging out in there, and was like acting as though this was his HOH room with the headphones and the snoring and all of that. And she is making a joke, whether or not you appreciate that joke. I mean, I certainly wouldn't appreciate being woken up by having headphones taken off of me. You could understand why somebody would be annoyed about that. But the response, perhaps a bit higher than you would think.
Yeah. So, you know what? I'm actually going to use this opportunity to share some knowledge with everyone about emotional regulation. This is something I worked on with my therapist this year. Okay. So a really easy way to start emotional regulation is to use what's called the scale of importance. You draw a scale from 1 to 10. Okay. Something happens that's annoying you and you go, okay, well, but how important is this really on a scale of 1 to 10? And how annoyed am I by it? Do those numbers match up? And now, well, let's do the scale of importance really quick. Okay, the headphones getting taken off of your head on day 75 of being in the Big Brother house. You know, maybe a 2. It's annoying. It's going to bug you. Not supposed to be napping anyways, but it's going to bug you. Now, Monty's at like a 378 for how annoyed he is. And I just... those numbers are not matching up. And I know Monty is saying that he's very good at math, but once again, it is not adding up.
Mm. Yes. So after they leave, Monty's going to talk to Turner and say, hey, Turner, do you get a chance to listen to the music? It's like, no. Did you? Like, what's... Well, I was enjoying the music until... I was like, oh, yeah, that was weird. Turner's like,
you know what? No, these people don't deserve Beyonce's Renaissance anyways. Only Taylor deserves Renaissance.
Turner says, listen, you mind if I ask you like a question real quick? Monty says, I know you're going to ask. You don't even need to ask. He's like, okay. I don't need to ask. I don't have any problem with it. I think that's dope. You know, that's totally cool.
I'm just asking as a homie.
Just a homie question. Monty says, yeah, basically what happened is, you know, I caught a strong signal that she was down last week. You know, it's been cool to do that sort of thing up in the HOH room. Turner's like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I've just been kind of hesitant to come into the HOH room sometimes. You know, I'm not sure, like, if I'm going to be interrupting anything.
Yeah, she's like, oh, yeah, we try to keep it under wraps. It's like, okay, you're only in the HOH room all day, every day, but okay, Monty.
Yeah, Turner's like, can I ask, is this something that you think is gonna like continue after the show? And Monty's like, nah, it's, I mean, I just had some things biologically happening. I'm sure you understand, Turner. This is not a person that I expect I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. I would need to have some long conversations with her about how she presents herself in the public, because in private, she's very different. Not to sound arrogant, but I'm no Kyle. I could have started something earlier, but I've been here for other things.
Why? Like, why is this man acting like this? Like, I just, like, even if you're like, you know what? I just needed to, you know, have some release in the house. Sure. Okay. Whatever. I don't know. What is the opposite of post-nut clarity? Because I feel like that's what's going on with Monty. This is not working.
I mean, it's clarity to his previously held positions.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess you're right. It has put him back to his prior way of acting. And like the thing is that is extra frustrating about all of this is like Monty has talked in the last few days about how he didn't understand why people were so mean to Taylor. And he has, you know, apologized to Taylor for mistreating her in the house earlier in the season. But then when he acts today, like, oh, you know, we'd have to talk about how she presents herself, and oh, like, she's not, you know, the type of person I'd want to be with, and oh, she's so cold, and all these things. It's like, so you don't even know what you apologized for. You have no idea what the full situation was. When you said sorry, you were just saying it to say it. You didn't mean it. And he's just continuing.
That's the thing. That's something I think that I remember talking about when he made the apology was like he was apologizing for being wrong about the Paloma situation. And I think I remember being like, it's not exactly everything you did there, Monty. It's not quite the full, but at least it's something. Like we were like, hey, people are apologizing. Like this is great. But yeah, I definitely don't recall him ever like actually realizing that he was wrong beyond just the Paloma situation. Mm-hmm. And said some other quite nasty things.
Exactly. And I do know that there are a lot of super cuts becoming available on Twitter this week of people editing together like all of what was said through this season. And even like the start of the season, Terrence didn't hate Taylor until after he talked to Monty. And then suddenly, and then now Terrence hates Taylor so much. Like I'm not defending Terrence at all. He's obviously very easily led down that path, but like, it's not good. Anyways, you can't trust any of these people. I will never trust anyone from Big Brother season 24, except for Taylor. And it's just the right way to live.
Yeah. So the rest of the day, it's going to be a little awkward here as Monty is just going to kind of be pouting around the house. He eventually decides, you know what? It's time for me to move out. Starts packing up his things in the HOH room.
His one bag. Like, it's not like he's got boxes.
he's packing up his drawer, basically. He's bringing it downstairs. He's going to move into a downstairs bedroom. Won't be staying up in the HOH room tonight. No, sir. Not if he can't wear those headphones.
He should go. I think, he should put everything he owns in a box to the left. Get out, go away forever. It's fine. But Taylor doesn't even notice because she's too busy gaming with Brittany all day.
Yes, Taylor's going to spend the day trying to get the Britney situation solved. She does have a conversation with Monty where she talks about the vote again. But Monty is still pretty firmly wanting to keep Turner. His primary reason is that he thinks that Britney's going to win part three of the final three HOH. Britney's going to talk to Taylor about it. Britney has come to the realization that this whole M&M strategy, probably not the best idea because it, if I'm trying to make it seem like I'm worse at competitions, showing Monty a full on color coded M&M graph of every competition, every placement, every person in every competition, it might backfire on me.
But it would be just fine if Taylor presents the graphs and never brings Brittany into it.
If Taylor's you just do it, Taylor, facts. Yeah, you're already in the final three. Doesn't change how what he's going to do with you.
I mean, who knows? Who knows what could change what he's going to do change it, so. With her? It could be anything.
She says to Taylor that she genuinely feels Turner has the strongest case to the jury and that Monty has the second strongest case. And this is just like, Brittany. I mean, I get why she thinks this. Her incentives are lined up to think this way. Turner is the only one vulnerable, so creating him as the biggest threat is advantageous to her position, and I believe she believes it. But man, I believe she's wrong. And it's not helping Taylor make a decision between the two of them if she wins.
Yeah, well, and also a lot of this conversation is Brittany talking about how she would be going into the jury with so much information and she would really be, you know, able to fill in gaps for people, which isn't, I mean, doesn't super incentivize Taylor to, you know, pitch for Brittany to stay. But also, like, it matters even less than ever before because this eviction will truly just be the jury roundtable and then they are all going to be separated. So you could be the most educated juror in the world, but you're only going to have so much time to make your case.
Yes. So yeah, Brittany's like, what if you presented the graphs to Monty? And Taylor's like, I mean, I'm down. I can't say that I understand the graphs well enough to explain them to Monty, but maybe. So we will see what happens there. Taylor is going to talk to the cameras. She's like, I've got to be getting played by these guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is happening here? She starts counting jury votes. She doesn't see herself beating Turner or Monty. Although one interesting thing is that she is like kind of like, ooh, which one should I sit next to? She is definitely thinking about the idea of not sitting next to Monty at this point. You know, she's at least thinking about, if she's counting jury votes, she has to see that Turner has far fewer jury votes locked in than Monty does. But it's difficult because Brittany's really like in there confusing the matter. She said, oh, Michael will definitely vote for Turner. Like all this stuff. And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just really tough at this point. At least, you know, she's actively thinking about it. She's talking to us about her mindset. And like, I don't blame Taylor at all if she ever has wrong perceptions about these people, because most of them have like not been honest with her the whole time. So it's hard to even gauge what's true and what's not.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
So, Monty, in the meantime, is going to let Turner know. Hey, so I moved my stuff out of the HOH room.
What a big man.
Yeah. You know, so I got to do what you got to do. He tells Turner about another aspect of his annoyance was that he was having a conversation with Taylor about, and this I think was in front of Turner as well, about like not seeing his goddaughter or being a part of his goddaughter's life. And Taylor said, well, not for the last 3 months. He was like, whoa, that was so mean. Why would you say that?
It's truly like, has he never met anyone who uses sarcasm ever? Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and don't worry, like, we're going to get into this because they're going to have a conversation about it. I would say again, just on a base level, yeah, I could see being like, whoa, that was a little unnecessary. Mm-hmm. In the same way that taking headphones off my head when I'm sleeping, a little unnecessary. The reason why, you know, if, cause again, if you start from scratch, you could be mm-hmm. like, yeah, like, why would you like, hey, what was up with that comment? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way. Oh, totally cool. Hey, what was up with you taking the headphones off my head? I was joking a little bit. Maybe I feel a little certain way about the thing, whatever we have a conversation about. Okay, cool. Whatever. Mm-hmm. We're going to see, again, a level of response that is, I would say, far beyond the realm of reasonable.
100%. And it's like, this is just another example of how, like, Taylor doesn't get given the benefit of the doubt in this house. Like, mm-hmm. I know, and I'm sure people are like, oh, this bias, ha, ha, ha. Well, you know, if everyone's biased against her, then I think it's fair that we share the case of why things are unnecessary. So. And kick rocks if you're upset. I don't really care. But like, in general, even then when he's like, oh, that's kind of mean, like, that's just not a way to have a productive conversation. Like, it's going to put the other person on the defensive instantly right now. Like, if, like, Taryn, if you and I were having a disagreement, or, you know, say I say something that's a little bit out of pocket, I didn't mean it the way it came across, but it just came across badly, and you start off being like, wow, that was really mean, Kirsten, then I'm gonna be like, that puts me on the defensive a little bit more. Whereas if you said, hey, I didn't like that, and here's why, then I could be like, oh my God, I am so sorry. But it doesn't even really matter, because Taylor is always going to consider other people's feelings and apologize profusely regardless. So
yeah,
I don't understand why she gets treated like she's some sort of villain.
I like this isn't something that I think that we need to explain on a podcast, but, people are not perfect. Nobody in the world is capable of, like, existing without accidentally sometimes doing a thing that will rub somebody else the wrong way. Every single person in that house has done plenty of things that have rubbed people the wrong way, intentionally, unintentionally. It happens all the time. Part of being a human being is knowing that it happens, knowing that you're going to do it, knowing that people are going to do it to you. And how you respond to that is a measure of how much grace you're willing to give to that other person, and how much you're going to, like, function in that relationship, right? What we have seen with Taylor from the start is that she has been given zero grace, zero understanding, zero benefit of the doubt from jump. Never once has a single, like, she does not have any room to make any mistakes at all. The smallest, teeniest slip up here or there or anywhere will be blown up to a huge proportion that is far exceeding what it should be. Everybody else in the house gets, or for at least for most of the other people in the house, get a regular amount of, like, oh, you did a thing that annoys me? Well, I'll get over it. That's fine. We can do whatever. And, you know, part of this is what we've talked about in the beginning. It has to do with her race, has to do with her profession, I guess, as a pageant queen person.
Contestant? I don't actually know what the pageant queen? I don't know.
Yeah, they say pageant girl, but that feels derogative.
Yeah, no, they're definitely being drugged right there.
So you know, this is something that again, like, so she has zero leeway here. Like, every little thing that she does, and that's why, like, you know, it's so easy for people to be like, well, she did do this thing. Why aren't people allowed to be upset that she wore a finale dress? Like, that is a little a little arrogant, right? Just a little bit.
Is it? Who gives a single F right. about someone wearing an effing dress? And also, don't forget that all of the girls egged her on to put on the dress, okay? So the dress doesn't matter. Who cares? You know what's fun? Putting on a fashion show and wearing cute clothes when you're locked in a house with no access to the outside world sounds like fun, okay? You know what's not fun? Being rude for no reason other than racism and misogyny.
Yeah, and you know, like, when I talk about, like, leeway that people are given, like, talk about almost everyone else in the house and how they treated Taylor in the first part of the season and how much leeway they were given in the latter bits of the season. Monty himself, I think, benefited from that. There were a lot of people like, you know, he did some things in the past that we don't love, but it seems like he's turning another page. Like, you know, this is where that's coming from, right? But Monty does not have the same perspective.
Well, and has Monty never had a roommate? Like, it seems like he is so ill-equipped to handle just like the mildest of annoyances. And I feel like if you live with another person for like 5.5 minutes, you learn how to deal with at least minor annoyances.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, he's perfectly willing to accept minor annoyances in people that aren't mm-hmm. named Taylor. Primarily people that he's maybe not like romantically interested in some way. I mean, this is the like shouldn't really come as a surprise to anybody that this is the same guy who just the other night said that he broke up with a girl in college because she didn't support his MLM scheme, and didn't seem to think like silly me back in college with my MLM thing.
Just everybody, when Monty is on Instagram in a week and a half posting about his like It Works raps or like the shakes or whatever, just remember that multi-level marketing is bad.
Yeah, so Brittany and Monty are going to have a conversation. Or Taylor and Monty. Did I say Brittany and Monty? Taylor and Monty are going to have a conversation. He goes up to the HOH room to talk to her. This is late at night. And the feeds are not on for it for like the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, we missed the start.
But they cut into him saying that he feels justified because other people also felt the same way. And he said that he says basically, and I'm going to try to represent Monty's, words as best as possible. If you want to watch it yourself, you certainly can. It was like, 1:30 to 2 o'clock AM, on Big Brother time. But he says in front of other people, he understands how she operates. It's that how she feels most natural doing something that she's that it's just if that's how she feels most natural. Like if that's the behavior that she's going to exhibit to people in public, that's just not something that he's comfortable with. And she says, well, I'm just trying to understand. Like what exactly you're upset with. And he says, it's the tone. It's the information that you're saying. It was unnecessary. It was insensitive, you know, and it was, he specifically referring to the goddaughter comment. He says it was obvious. You don't need to be pointing that out. It was condescending. It was insensitive and it was rude. And if you see it any differently, then I don't know. You know, it just wasn't fair to say that I've missed 3 months of my goddaughter's life without you mentioning that you also missed 3 months of your grandmother's life, which is what she's saying. Like, oh, that's what was in my head about, like, I had just been thinking about having missed 3 months of my grandmother's life, which is where the comment came from. And he says, I don't deserve to be spoken this way.
Well,
way.
You know what? He's actually right because he doesn't deserve to be spoken to at all by someone like Taylor, who's so amazing and smart and kind and actually cares about people.
Yeah.
I can't. So, it's just so irritating that, like, he is sitting here and he thinks that he is such hot shit and, you know, women have to earn their place with him. And it is a constant battle of having to, you know, feel like you deserve to be with him because he's so amazing and he thinks he is God's gift to the world. And I think there was a point, it was either yesterday or the day before, where he starts talking about how, like, oh, you know, as a man, he feels like, you know, he gets convicted on things like about being like communication and relationships. It's because these F-boys walk around and they get you on the rope and they pull you in and they push you away. And then they pull you in and then they push you away. He treats people like shit. And then if anybody says anything to him that is not like, oh, Lord Monty, I burn for you, he's like, oh, wow, I don't deserve this. I'm getting so disrespected. Like, it's just infuriating. It is completely toxic and it is so annoying.
Yeah, I think it's important to have in mind the conversation that he had with Terrence when he called Taylor damaged goods, and how she was, incapable of being vulnerable with him, which was like a turnoff, essentially. And then also, of course, just like, I think that this is something that I think it was Mari who brought it up, just felt like, Monty loves it when Taylor is beholden to him, vulnerable to his power in the game, doesn't like it when she is has her own power, is independent.
Say you hate women, right? Like at this point, if you can't handle it, if someone is, you know, standing in their own power and not 100% submissive to you at all times. Like, just say you say, hey, women.
Right. And like, I mentioned this because he's basically going to say that out loud. He says, so she says, well, first of all, thank you for talking to me about this. Of course. She says, I'm genuinely so sorry for that goddaughter comment. I did not mean it to be hurtful in that way. And I'm so sorry for that. And in addition to the snatching of the headphones, I completely understand why you felt a little off about that. You are not somebody that I want to disrespect. I would never intentionally throw something in your face to harm you. I'm so deeply sorry. And he says, all right, well, I'm not going to sit here and not say I forgive you. What I want to say is that I just feel like now that I know you more intimately, now that we've gotten intimate, I feel like I especially know this other side of you. I know that you have it in you to be more warm and not so cold. And so it was just confusing to see you revert back to that cold version of Taylor. And she is
so gross, Taryn. Why are they like this? Why are these people so horrible?
She is, of course, really, like, fully coming to this conversation with a level of vulnerability and introspection that that I feel like should be respected by Mr. Vulnerability. She says, okay, you know what? I'm sure that there is a fear, I'm sure, of being defined by my relationship to a guy in this house. And maybe the headphones, maybe that it was subconsciously my way to try to avoid that.
Look
at how we talk about Alyssa. Like, I know how fans of this show talk about women in the game. I was targeted from jump, berated by a man, my existence in the game is saved by a man, and until I had the foments with Joseph, I wasn't allowed to create any of my own friendships in the game, and even that was thrown under the bus in Direfest. My entire journey has been defined by men in this house, and I'm sure that a part of me taking your headphones was me just like trying to communicate to like Brittany in that moment that this was her space as much as it was Monty's or Turner's. And so like, I'm sure like she is full on deep, like psychoanalyzing this, you know, pretty innocuous thing. And, you know, maybe if this was a regular conversation, like there's still some value in this and maybe they can get to the bottom of like what's happening here and maybe no more headphones get snatched. Monty though responds, Taylor, it's not like you gave the headphones to Brittany in that moment. And she says, it was more about me trying to own my own space. And he says, look, Taylor, I've seen plenty of times this summer, and I think I know a bit about you at this point. I think I can maybe help you realize some things about yourself. In the times in the game when you're safe, this coldness increases and you become more of that persona of, you know, less sensitive, less loving, more cold and condescending. And you know, I've seen it from my standpoint personally, you know, now, especially again, now that we've become intimate, I see that that wasn't you the whole time. I've seen this other version of Taylor who is warm and loving, and stuff. And so, you know, a lot of it's, you know, a lot of times it's phases. Like when you're on the block, you don't exhibit the behavior of being condescending, rubbing people the wrong way, et cetera. You know, I don't think this is the first time something like this has happened in the house with you. So I just feel like this, again, it's, you know, when you are on the block, when you are, you know, feeling, not as comfortable, that's when the real you is coming out. That's when the good version of you is coming out. And when you're feeling comfortable and in power, that's when, you know, you start to get cold and condescending and insensitive. And it's just some phases that I've noticed. And I'm trying to help you understand this, Taylor.
I genuinely don't understand how she sat and listened to this and apologized, because even just listening to you recap it, it's like I'm lit on fire and I am so mad because it's just not okay. Like, this is not how you talk to people. He literally is saying, you know, I like the you that you are when you are in danger and when you have to anticipate that other people will be mad at you. He wants someone who is so traumatized that they are sitting on eggshells watching him to read his mood and not make him upset. He wants, you know, like in this situation, I would go into the fight response because I would hurt him so deeply with my words in this moment if I were there. It would cross a line the way that I would speak to anyone who spoke to me that way, because they cross the line first. He wants someone to just fawn, which is a trauma response. He wants someone so, like, you know, someone feeling so horrible and troubled that they are just like, oh no, like, I'm so sorry. Like, this is the real me. Like, I'm like, making sure you feel good is all that matters to me. Like, relationships are a two-way street, and she is trying to walk her side of the street and communicate why maybe she's acting in a way that he doesn't like and work on how they can move forward in a way where that won't happen. And he has mentally checked out like 75 days ago because he was never really in it. And he's just like, no, like I don't want a real conversation here. I want to make you feel bad and move on with my life. Like, because at the point where he keeps going in and in and in, oh no, this is the real you. This is when you're warm. This is when you're cold. Like, he doesn't want to resolve anything. He just wants to keep going in. Like, he's not a man who wants to resolve anything in this moment.
Yeah, and that's very clear. I think in the conversation, every opportunity that he has to accept an apology or, you know, say it's okay, like we can move past this, whatever, is sort of either ignored or glossed over so that he can continue his explanation. She says, you know, and she's like in tears through a decent amount of this conversation, by the way. It's why when she's, oh, stop. This is gross. Oh my God. And he's like, oh, why is it gross? You should cry. You know, she says, she tries really hard to not be a person that hurts people, but because at her core, she is somebody that is so sensitive. She knows how easy it is to get hurt. She tries not to do that to other people. And she's afraid of the most gentle side of herself because it's so vulnerable. She tries to reserve that side of her for the people that are most deserving of the most gentle side of her, aka healthy boundaries. She doesn't try to hurt people by reserving. She doesn't try to hurt people by reserving that side of herself, but it sounds like in doing so, she's created an aspect of herself that's too defensive and too hard. Is what she feels. And this is like, I think, a pretty generous way of interpreting even what Monty is saying. But I do think that, again, like she is attempting to be open to the idea mm-hmm. that maybe she has created too tough an outer shell. From my perspective, having watched Taylor all season, I don't think she has anywhere close to too tough of an outer shell. I think that she is one of the more open and strongly vulnerable people that I have seen on this show. You know, what?
Yeah, well, and exactly. Like we all have been watching the feeds and the show this whole time. We have seen how Taylor is, and we've also seen that Taylor extends grace to people at all times. So, I mean, it's not like we're going to see her just icing Monty out at the very least, not for these days in the house, you know? So we just have to be ready to know that Taylor's a better person than all of us.
Well, he's going to respond. He says, you know, that's not surprising to me. Because after you shared a lot about your experiences, I figured out basically what would make you put that sort of person out there. He said that, let me just say, you know, none of what happened with Daniel and Nicole was justified. But I do think that part of that came from this cold person that you were showing at first to let people know that you are not going to be run over. And she is like, okay, so hold on. Curious, Nicole, Amira, how are they allowed to? And he's, I'm not saying they're allowed to. I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. He says that I'm saying that that was the initial impression based on how you were communicating. And I don't think that people were comfortable telling you and pointing out specific examples to you at that time. And I don't have any personal, I don't have any specific examples myself. But I do know that, you know, in my personal experience, my initial impressions of Nicole and Amira were not of a cold person. I'm just telling you what it looks like from my perspective, because when you watch it back, I just don't want it to come as a surprise to you when you see what happened. I don't think things come out of nowhere, and I don't think they come out of thin air. I don't think it happens for no reason. I don't sit here and put all responsibility on you for everything. Daniel definitely took it to another level that he shouldn't have taken it to. And I wouldn't have responded in the way that others did. And I didn't. They chose to do that. But, you know, why was it a thing that was said by multiple people?
I just am so curious about how this man's brain works, because we sat there and we watched it happen live, and we know that there is a very clear reason for what happened. We've talked all about the colorism, racism, misogyny all season long. We've been talking about it, and like that is why. And I don't know why Monty chose yesterday of all days to be like, you know what? Today's the day when I really want to make Taylor feel like absolute shit for no reason. Because he could have taken, like, yes, he has these two like moments that he's upset about. He has these two moments that he's decided are worth like a move out breakup situation. But they're so innocuous. Like, you could have one or two of those incidences from anyone any day, because they're nothing. They're truly absolute nothing moments. And like, he's just sitting there like trying to rewrite history.
Yeah, I mean, like, despite the fact that she's apologized, he has felt the need to pull back the evidence of the first few weeks of the game and the fact that the whole house was against her as justification for his sort of, like, theory on who she is and who she should be. He says, you know, could they have been game reasons back then? Sure. But even before the Paloma thing, I got that vibe from people that they felt that way, you know? And this is just my hypothesis of what may have happened. This is coming from a place of me caring about you, Taylor. I disagree with your stance on vulnerability. You know, I operate differently. You know, I want to lead with my vulnerability. Because that he's definitely shown that to be the case. Sorry, I didn't mean to editorialize. She says again that she's sorry for what happened. I just want you to know I'm sorry for what happened. And he goes, mm-hmm. She said, well, thank you for at least having a conversation with me about it. Mm-hmm. She's like, so how do you feel? And he says, I'm not going to lie. I would have naturally responded in a much harsher way if I wasn't on television. I have a very low tolerance for disrespect. It was a big turnoff. And I don't feel comfortable staying here tonight. And she says, I understand that. I think that maybe we rushed into something physical. I was thinking about this earlier that like, I feel like there's a gap between how much I know you and how physical we've gotten. And I feel like maybe I need to get to know you some more, Monty. And then the conversation kind of fizzles from there.
Yeah. And like, truly, he says, like, I would be harsher if I was not on TV. Like, he literally said that. And he's already being basically a demon this whole conversation and argument. They do, like, at the end of the convo, there's still, like, a little flirty energy. Like, they do kiss after they set this boundary. And then watch, he's like, oh, bad Taylor. And he goes. And it's just like, what is going on here? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. So there's the conversation. After Monty leaves, Taylor's going to be like, oh God, back to Taylor's an insensitive narrative. Mm-hmm. Nice when it's convenient. That's just excruciating. I feel so set up. Like this whole narrative is so overrated, lame, boring. Boo.
It's yeah, like she's been living it this whole time. She knows this song and it's not a good song.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the night. It was quite the experience. It's happened. So really, in terms of game ramifications, I think certainly Taylor. I always felt this way. I felt like Taylor would take whoever she felt she could beat more. I still think that as of right now, she's feeling like that might be Monty, but I think she's certainly even more willing to not take Monty if if there's even just a little bit of a better chance against Turner. From Monty's point of view, he did not tell Turner still that he planned to take him to the final two. He did not go to Turner and be like, nah, you know, I'm definitely taking you to final two, by the way. He did not seem to react in that way. However, it's certainly possible that if Monty feels like he can beat both Turner and Taylor, that he may no longer feel like he wants to bring Taylor there. Or, you know, he said before that part of his reasoning was that he would love to lose to a strong woman a strong black woman if he was going to lose the game. I don't know what his opinion on Taylor's strength at the moment is, or if that would impact his decision.
I don't believe him when he said it, and I don't believe him now. He doesn't want that. He's just saying that because he thinks it'll look good to say it.
Right. So I don't have any concrete reason to believe that Monty has changed his mind about taking Taylor. I think that he still feels that she's easier to beat than Turner. And I still think that because of that, more than anything else, that he still would want to take her to the final two. But things are a lot more up in the air today than they were yesterday because of everything that has gone down at this point. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Things are in the air, but everybody, if there's one thing I still have faith in this world, it is Taylor Karma. Do not worry. Okay. It's going to be okay.
Yes.
I have to believe that. I can't not believe that.
So that's about where we are at this point. We will see if, you know, this really should have been a week of nothing, but, instead we've got a bunch of, completely, unnecessary drama to contend with. And, you know, what kind of week would it be? What kind of season would it be if we didn't remind everyone just how poorly Taylor was treated all season?
You know what? Maybe people have forgotten. So yeah. I will continue beating that drum and reminding everyone about how unfairly she's been treated from day one.
Yeah. So that's what we got. Kirsten, anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm so tired. Like this, I don't know how you've been doing this every day this season, Taryn, because these people are just, bleh, you know?
We're almost there.
Almost there.
Almost there. All right. Well, I will say again, you know, for this kind of thing, if you are able to do it, I would recommend watching the conversation yourself if it is going to elicit a strong reaction from you. I never want you to just completely rely on what I am relaying or my interpretation of the conversation. Please form your own opinions. But yeah, that's about where we are for the day. Of course, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. Later tonight, we will be live with the Survivor draft, as Survivor is going to be starting on Wednesday. So make sure you find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'll be watching Survivor and The Amazing Race with Derek X and Claire live on Wednesday.
Make it sound like you're watching the show with them, like they're gonna be at your house.
I mean, basically, right? Maybe we can give Claire a call. So check that out over on Twitch. And then, of course, tomorrow night, the final roundtable before the end of the season. You'll be able to predict jury votes, who's going to take who to the final two, and all kinds of other things, including, of course, rating the players one last time before the season ends. So tune in for that as well. Check out the Among Us videos I'm posting on YouTube. I'm going to be talking House of the Dragon today, if you watched last night's episode. And then that's about what we've got. Find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Kirsten, where can people find you?
Yeah, so Mess Magnets is back, talking pop culture, celeb gossip, trending topics, super fun. Lindsay Wilson and I over on BoJack Horse Pod have started recapping Tuca and Birdie. So if people want to check that out, it's at BoJack Horse Pod. And I'll be back on Thursday for the recap. So if people want to hear a little bit more of my Big Brother thoughts, you'll get one more chance. And you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you then. Thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.